Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi First Half 2018 Consolidated Results presentation. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group First Half 2018 Results conference call. With me, Mr. Biella, CFO, Mr. Cenci, Chief Control and Strategy Officer, and Mr. Micheli, Head of IR and M&A. As usual, we will begin with a few brief comments before opening the floor to a Q&A session. The 6 months ended June 30th delivered brilliant results in terms of organic growth, highlighting encouraging signs coming from the stabilization of the food preparation market. The solid trend supporting the coffee market growth. On top of it, continued expansion of Braun outside Western Europe. The second quarter shows continuity with the first quarter of this year and the last quarter of last year. We read this performance as an evidence of the effectiveness of the group investment in research and communication, the performance of the product launches, supporting the medium-term development of the company. Despite challenges coming from the market. These favorable trends make us reasonably confident that our expectation for the current year can be improved with regard to both organic growth and margins. We now target a high single-digit organic growth in revenues and an increase in the value of the adjusted EBITDA in line with the high end of our consensus, comprised between 326 million and 339 million euros. In the 6 months, revenues were up by 9.7% organic after a 9.6% organic growth in the second quarter. Coffee makers were growing double digits in both the quarter and the 6 months. Full automatic coffee machines, as in the past months, were leading segments, with an Espresso Latissima overperforming so as to compensate any weakness of Dolce Gusto, which is due to changes in the strategic portfolio management of Nestlé. Looking at the food preparation, the whole segment was flattish in the 6 months, beside the positive contribution of Braun, which is growing according to the plans. Kitchen machines were positive in organic terms in the 6 months. Our strong 9.7% performance was halved by the plunge of many key export currencies versus the euro, US and Australian dollar, ruble, Swiss franc, and Japanese yen, just to mention the main ones. The FX effect on revenues amounted to some 41 million euro in the 6 months and 21 million euro in the quarter. According to the current market, we maintain our estimate of an impact of around 3 percentage points of growth on the full year. Such negative effect has only partially affected the EBITDA, thanks to our overseas productions and thanks to a proactive hedging strategy. The impact of currencies on EBITDA was minus 4.7 million euro in the 6 months and minus 3.9 million in the quarter. Our estimate of the impact for the full year now is around minus 10 million euros. Looking more closely at the geographies, Southwest Europe showed a rather widespread growth, with a marked recovery in France in the second quarter, and with Austria and Switzerland in double-digit growth, more than offsetting the decline in Italy and a stable Germany. Very positive picture for Northeast Europe, growing at double-digit rate in organic terms, with Russia, Ukraine, and the other CIS countries in particular evidence. UK was still weak. The Asia-Pacific Americas region was growing at a double-digit organic rate, although suffering from a negative currency impact of around 10 percentage points due to the depreciation of the region's currency basket. The performance of the Middle East, India and Africa region was also positive at an organic level, thus confirming a normalization trend compared to last year. The depreciation of the reference currency in the area, mainly the US dollar, accounted for around 10 percentage points of growth. As anticipated, the strong progression of coffee machines continued in the 6 months, achieving a growth of 22% organic, with a positive contribution from all macro segments of espresso, fully auto, manual, and capsule systems. In the food preparation segment, a positive organic trend for the brown hand blenders was confirmed, while Kenwood's kitchen machines show a pickup, reaching an organic growth of approximately 3% in the first half. As to the comfort segment, portable heating and air conditioning and air treatment, we report a positive performance both in the half year and in the quarter at an organic and nominal level. Last, in the sector of home care, despite the overall organic decline in the 6 months, we highlight the continuation of the growth of the brown ironing systems, which represent the product family with the highest added value of the sector. Going to the margins, the trend, on the other hand, benefited from the sustained organic growth, especially in the more premium product families. But on the other side, it was affected by controlled pressure on the cost of raw materials, in line with the company's expectations. Net industrial margin amounted to 407.1 million, up in absolute value, but down as a percentage of revenues, from 49.1% to 47.6%, mainly due to pressures on the raw materials prices and the negative impact of exchange rates. Adjusted EBITDA increased from 106.5 to 109.1 million, up 2.5%, reaching 12.8% of revenues against 13% of the previous year. After non-recurring components, negative for 4.1 million euro, EBITDA stood at 105 million, substantially in line with last year and equal to 12.3% of revenues. EBIT amounted to 77.9 million euros, 9.1% of revenues, flat in comparison to the previous year, but in adjusted value, it would have been increased by 2.8%. Finally, as to the net profit, normalizing the values of the operating and financial non-recurring items, positive for about 10 million euro in 2017, while negative for 2.2 million this year, would bring the reported value of 55.9 million up to 57.6 million, with a growth of 15.3% versus last year. Very good cash generation, both in the 12 months rolling with a 153 operational cash flow and 44 million in the 6 months. The balance sheet was able to maintain a net cash position of approximately 150 million euro, flat versus last year. The net financial position was, as said, 155.9%, with a positive contribution versus banks and other lenders of 157 million. Let me also mention the improvement in the ratio of the net working capital to 12 months rolling revenues from 14.4% to 13.2%, which witnesses our tight discipline in working capital management in an environment of strong growth of the top line and dramatic changes in the distribution networks across the markets. To conclude, the brilliant results of the half year and encouraging signs on food preparation, we will raise our targets for the full year in terms of organic revenues, now seen growing at a high single-digit rate, and on adjusted EBITDA, now expected to improve in value in line with the high end of our consensus, ranging between 326 and 339 million euros as of today. This concludes my introduction, and now we can open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen, and three questions from my side. The first one is related to the strong acceleration that we have seen in the second quarter in coffee. It was up 16% in the first quarter and 22% in the half, implying a very strong second quarter. So my question is related to what was behind this acceleration, and on the other end, which was the implied performance of all the other business, which is not coffee in the second quarter, which apparently was pretty poor. The second question is related to the reason behind what I see as an improvement in the EBITDA guidance. What has changed versus 3 months ago, and in particular, are you confirming your previous guidance in terms of A&P cost? And last question on EBITDA adjustment, are they fully related to stock option, or is there something else? Thank you.
Niccolò, thank you for the question. Sorry, but there is no acceleration in coffee. This is consistent with quarter one and quarter four. It's continuity, which is even better, because this is now becoming a more evident trend rather than a short-term win. So we feel very strong about coffee, and I think also that there is no surprise on the performance of the other product lines, if not a pickup in kitchen machines and hand blenders under the Braun brand. So I see only positives, although it's a weaker performance of the other product lines. This is a pickup, so this is also bringing me to the improved guidance that now we see a high single-digit growth potential for the group in 2018. So is it just a slight improvement, but we are very confident after, let's say, two very strong months about our potential. The second question is absolutely we will invest more in A&P. You probably see less investment in quarter two, but is not meaningful, as quarter two is less relevant for the group, and usually is the quarter in which we invest less in terms of A&P. We rather invest in promotional activities in this quarter rather than in advertising. We are still aiming to an increased advertising investment in quarter three and four. We see advertising becoming a driving force in the future, in the near future, and also in the long-term future for the group. We revised EBITDA because with a stronger growth, we can aim to a slightly stronger profitability. But again, I have to say that to me now it's very important to maximize the growth potential of coffee and go back to growth also in food preparation. We think that Now we are confident that despite the higher A&P investment, we can also increase our EBITDA in absolute value and to get to the new disclosed targets in terms of profitability that I have already given.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
I have about the EBITDA. There was also a question about the impacts on the adjustments, and the about 2 million euro is due to the stock option, and 2 million euro is due to a reorganization of our commercial structure. In the past, say, our chief commercial officer is retiring, and we have a new appointment within the organization, is Mr. Paul Acornero, and with Paul stepping up in the new role, we have also reorganized the commercial structures at the headquarter level and also partially in the regions, which is affecting the quarter with 2 million non-recurring millions. And we have now a new organization in place which will help us to continue in the growth path that we are seeing today.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about labor costs, not industrial one, that in the first quarter was minus 46 million. In the second quarter, you had minus 42, so a nice decrease in the labor cost, non-industrial, in the second quarter, down minus 5% year-on-year. I would like to better understand the reasons behind this trend. My second question is a follow-up on the guidance. So basically, if I take your indication on full-year adjusted EBITDA, this means that you are expecting a second half adjusted EBITDA growing by more than 8-9% versus 3% in the first half, despite the expectation of a similar organic growth in the second half, and probably tougher comparison. I would like just to go more in detail on these, the reasons, probably better gross margin, new products. I would like to double check these items, in particular on the gross margin side, because you stated in the first quarter that you expected some improvement, but the second quarter was still weak. I would like to double check on this front. And finally, on my third question is about raw material. I would like if you are seeing a different picture regarding the scenario that you present in the first quarter. Thank you.
Okay, the first question about labor cost. The decrease you see is mainly due to exchange rates. We have some impact due to exchange rates, due to say the conversion of the cost in Asia versus with the new exchange rates. The second question. We think that you're right. We expect growth in the second half as well, and now we expect a better operational leverage in the second half. The third question about the food preparation, what I'm saying is that we can have good months and bad months. We can have good quarters and worse quarters, I think in the end we will see a stabilized market with a trend more in the positive ground rather than in the negative ground. So I don't expect a strong acceleration of food preparation. I expect a small pickup, which is good news for us. I mean, we come from at least two very difficult years, very difficult 18 months. Now I'm happy about seeing the stabilization. We see some good performance of the kitchen machines and of hand blenders. So I'm now more comfortable about the group growth perspective, because we're still stronger believers of our opportunity in coffee. We see good performance of Braun in Ironman, and we think that now we can count on a better scenario for food preparation. Also the profitability coming from the good margin in our food preparation segment will help the EBITDA performance in the second half. In terms of raw materials, we gave a guidance of a 1.5% increase in prices for the year. Now we are a little bit more optimistic, and we see an inflation around 1% rather than 1.5, which also will help the profitability in the second half.
Okay, just to make a recap, so you expect a better mix, lower impact from raw material, and as well some investment in EMP, and these elements should help to improve the operating leverage in the second half. It's that a good sum up for the second half?
Yes, it's a fair sum up of the second half.
And so regarding this point, probably you see lower impact from raw materials, so the gross margin that was down in the first half, probably we have to expect some improvements over the coming quarters, correct?
Yes, in the sense that we will see progressively probably the gap closing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Very, very, very good results. Amazing outlook. Just a quick question on how your expectations looking forward. You were saying that you want to continue to invest in NP to support the growth. So if we look next year, the year after, what do you think will be the main growth drivers? Do you expect that the coffee segment will continue at this strong growth, or should we also factor in the high comparison basis and expect some slowdown here? And on the contrary, do you think that the food preparation should accelerate and come back to the historical growth rates that you've seen before? How do you feel about Braun? Is it in line with your initial expectations when you bought the brand several years ago? And what can be improved, or what measures do you see in the next few years with Braun? And then how that should translate into the operational performance, into margins? So if you want to continue to invest in A&P, probably there could be still some investments in distribution. Do you think that the margins will improve with operating leverage, or would you rather reinvest the operating leverage into the support for the top-line growth? And then in terms of the shorter-term outlook, basically you think that the canned wood, the food preparation will pick up. It doesn't mean that if you've seen kind of 3% organic growth at kitchen food machines, that it should go kind of 5%, a bit more, or stabilize on this level? And how do you see the development on the competitive environment for the food preparation and for the kitchen machines? And how does Kenwood stand out from the peers? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Anne, for the questions. So I don't know if I can go so much in details as you're asking, However, in terms of A&P investment, yes, you can expect that we will invest in 2018 accordingly with what we have previously announced. Our goal is to increase our advertising spend for two reasons: support the top line growth and also strengthen the brands in the long run. So we think this is not just as a technical approach to exploit our growth potential, but also as a more strategic approach. We believe in the future to have a strong brands and iconic products and very successful product lines would be very important. So we think in the long run, this advertising investment will be essential for the success of companies. So having said so, then in probably 2019, as you're asking also about maybe a longer term vision, we think that maybe the percentage of A&P on sales will progressively stabilize. You asked about Braun and our food preparation. It's very difficult to predict what one product line will do. And then also we have also different trends in the different regions. I believe that now it's very encouraging to see a stabilization of our of the food preparation overall. I think that after stabilization, also thanks to our investment, we will be probably seeing a progressive recovery. Maybe also led by the performance of Braun, which is now outperforming Kenwood within our brand portfolio. We have posted about an 8% Braun growth organic in the 6 months, which is, I think, a very encouraging growth rate. I think Braun is not just exceeding Kenwood, is also exceeding the market, growing at a faster pace. On top of that, I would remind the investments we have in ironing. So also the group is trying to capture growth potential beyond the usual product families, which are coffee and food preparation, and Braun now is delivering growth in ironing. The performance of Braun in ironing is a bit overshadowed by the lack of loyalty program in Germany of Agiete. But excluding the loyalty program, which occurred in 2017, is not repeated in 2018, we had a nice growth in ironing on Braun, both in the more traditional product lines like ironing, and also in the new launches, which are the ironing systems. I hope I have touched all the points that you asked, or please add on if you think that some of your questions were not.
No, you touched quite a few. Thank you very much. But maybe to understand, if you think that the growth will be kind of sustainable mid to high single digit growth, also looking into 2019-2020, and if you think that the margin should improve, given that there will be a bit more positive mix with the improving food preparation segment, etc. So how should we think about the EBITDA margins going forward, despite the investment in NP?
No, I'm not. Actually, let's put it this way. We are now increasing our guidance for 2018. And to be honest, it's not really increasing the guidance, because the guidance was between 5% and 10% at the beginning. What we're saying is now, given the strong performance, you should expect to be in the high bracket of the guidance.
I'm more thinking after 2018, so more thinking.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there. So I think that for the moment, I understand maybe the guidance is a bit broad, between 5 and 10%, but I think this is really a guidance that for the moment we have to maintain and to stick to. It's difficult to revise that. I think we will try to be more precise, along with the year sales progression, we will probably try to fine tune and give a better guidance, but for the current year. So I'm confirming the growth potential for the group between 5 and 10%, which I think is, I understand, a bit wide as a potential, but it's difficult for us to increase and revise this guidance for the moment.
Understood, thank you. And then just maybe the last question on the tax rate in Q2, which looked quite low, so maybe if you can comment on this. Thank you. And what kind of tax rate should we expect this year?
Yeah, no, it's a temporary, there are some temporary effects, but thanks to the patent box that we discussed also in the previous conference calls, we can expect now a tax rate around 23% on a yearly basis.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, I have additional questions from my side. The first one is about, you are confident about second half, looking, of course, at a very, very good trend on the first half in terms of top-line growth. But we'd like to better understand if you are also backed up by some product launches, in particular in the food preparation, coffee. We'd like to better understand your pipeline that you are working on in order to sustain the fourth quarter that, you know, better than me, that is the most important one. So focus on product launches. If you see some acceleration in this front. And my second question is about financial expenses that for the first half was minus 9 million. Very low financial expenses in the second quarter, 2 million. I would like to, if you can provide us a breakdown of these 9 million, maybe you are decreasing cash discounts. I would like to better understand. Thank you.
Some new product launches. I would like to highlight three product launches, or maybe four. We have maybe five. We have two new fully automatic coffee machines. One in the very high end, around 2,000 euro as a price point. Then we have another more, in the middle price points, another fully automatic around 1,000 euro. And both will be launched in quarter three and quarter four. Then on top of that, in quarter four, we will start deliveries of a new pump machine, an innovative pump machine, which we probably see, let's say, most of the results in and effects in 2019. We also highlight some new product launches for Kenwood and the market expansion, more with regards to food preparation and also cooking, and this is a new K-Mix product line. And then I would like also to mention the new ironing systems for Braun. We will have a new, innovative, very compact and product which is now under launch, which will be, let's say, the results will impact probably quarter three and quarter four, again, 2018. So I think, as usual, we have plenty of new products, but really we are now exploiting the growth, secular growth trend in coffee and in fully auto, which is probably the most important growth opportunity for us.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
The second question is the financial impact. I hand over to Fabrizio Micheli about the financial details.
Yes.
Required.
Yeah. Hello. We have improvements on. Let's say on more than one say items of financial items, we have an improvement in bank interest due to the improving position, and we have a cash position. We have an improvement from the overall foreign exchange management. We also have an improvement, a small improvement, but it's still an improvement in financial discounts. And we also have less securitization cost. And also there is a positive gap with last year due to the interest on Brown earnout. You know that we have fully written off the earnout from our financial position. So we had the interest on that position, inputted interest. Now we don't have any more. And these are the main, items that are bringing down the financial charges of the half year.
Okay. Many thanks.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. My first question is on the A&P in the second quarter. If I understood correctly, the expenditure on this line was softer than the other quarters. So I was wondering if this means that in absolute terms, the A&P expenditure were flat or just flat as a percentage of sales. And the second one is just a clarification. Maybe I didn't get correctly, but the FX impact at top line that you expect for the full year is 3%, or I didn't get wrongly. Thank you.
As an A&P, in the quarter, A&P is probably below what is the A&P guidance for the year. So you have to expect that in the second half, we will spend in line with the previously given A&P spend guidance. Mm-hmm. With regard to the FX, we expect now a softening of the negative winds on the top line due to exchange rates, but still we have some negative impacts. Now we see a full year impact of around minus 3%, let's say minus, maybe slightly below that, but let's say around minus 3 for a full year.
Okay, thank you very much.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. A final reminder, at this time, if you wish to join the question queue, please press star and one. The next question is from Andrea Bonfà with Bank Akros. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I do apologize, I joined the conference call late, but if you are so kind to basically explain to me, the fact that you are expecting, let's say, an EBITDA, an adjusted EBITDA toward the top part of the consensus, I mean, how that is help in term of, let's say, inflation costs in H2 versus H1? Or how much is up, let's say, from mix in H2 versus H1. Just to understand why there is such an acceleration, despite more or less the same top-line growth in terms of EBITDA growth in H2 versus H1. Because if I'm correct, I mean, if I'm, let's say, putting... factoring in the top part of the guidance, your EBITDA in adjusting H2 should grow by around 12-13%, and you were growing by 2% in the first half. So I want to try to understand what are the drivers by which you expect such an acceleration in EBITDA in the second part of the year. And then if you want is a more, let's say, consecutive question. I mean, next year you will confront yourself with a tough comparison base, because this year volume growth is extremely solid. So is it realistic to expect more a 5%, or are you still, I mean, thinking maybe there is also the chance that you deliver faster top line growth? Thank you very much.
Okay, so I think it's a number of reasons. Well, the first of all is the operational leverage. We have a very strong operational leverage in the second half. Now we expect improved mix. We expect also a less tough comparison with last year in terms of pricing, and some of the prices that we have adjusted were adjusted in the second half of 2017. So the impact was already in place in the second half of 2017. So we will have an easier comp in terms of pricing. I think that the raw material, we have just announced probably an improved scenario. Instead of a 1.5%, we expect a 1% inflation. So I think the pricing, the improved pricing, or at least a less compelling or difficult comparison with last year in terms of pricing, the better mix, the strong mix, and the better cost perspective. I think the three together, on top of the strong operational leverage that we will have in the second half, I would say that we expect a solid growth also for the second half, all these things together are indicating us that we can achieve the guidance that we've just given you. In terms of 2019, I think that this is a company that has, in 12 years, has more than doubled sales from about 800 and 900 million euros for the household division to about 2 billion now on a 12-month rolling base. Most of the growth has been done organically. We see a strong performance of coffee. We are now, we think that we will see a progression of a progressive improvement of food preparation also next year. So for sure we will have a tough comparison, but I still believe that the growth potential of this company is between 5 and 10%. I'm not changing the guidance, seeing a tough. Just because we have a strong year, we will have a soft year next year. I confirm the growth potential.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe that's got a question for Fabrizio. I'm trying to understand how do your depreciation and amortization behave vis-a-vis your CapEx, in the sense that, if I'm correct, Last year, you invested some almost 100 million in capex. This year should be around 70 million, maybe something less. I mean, we are talking very important numbers, and in just 2 years. But your D&A is kind of stable in the first half. If you can elaborate, how shall we expect D&A to evolve this year and next, just to reflect the latest capex, because we don't see those reflected in D&A, which is something we would like to understand better.
Yes, Andrea, you're right. We have invested a lot last year. You know, we have extraordinary investment last year, and also this year we have a queue of the investment plans. We have completed the enlargement of the Romanian plant. So of course, an increase compared to say 2-3 years ago, we have an increase in amortization and depreciation. That's a consequence of the increase in the capex. I think that the split between H1 and H2 depends on the phasing of investments. It's you say an accounting consequence. So there is no specific reason other than the phasing of the accounting of capex. Overall, for the full year, I would expect a slight increase on 2017. Let's say not a major increase, a slight increase due to the massive investment that we had last year and also in the previous years.
And that should be also the trend for next year, a slight increase, or shall we pencil in this number? Okay.
I mean, that's a consequence of the capex. Amortization and depreciation have long time life, and you know it's due to the investments that we had. We can forecast a stabilization, at least in the medium terms, of the DNA.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Anna again. Four questions from my side. One on Kenwood competitive environment. My understanding was that KitchenAid was a bit more aggressive in Europe, in the UK. How do you see the development of Kenwood versus competition? And how can you improve it? A second question on the U.S. Very strong growth. What are your what are the midterm drivers there? How do you plan to sustain this? And probably question linked to this with Braun, is it if it is thanks to Braun in the U.S., then how it is positioned versus competition? How do you see the sellout? What could be the potential product expansion there, or what could be the potential step to support the top-line growth there? And then the last question is on the gross margin development. Probably I missed it from the previous discussion, but there was accelerated decline in Q2. But then my understanding was that you implied that second half of the year should see better gross margin thanks to the product mix. So why then it was much lower in Q2 versus Q1, and why it should be much better going forward? Thank you.
First question. KitchenAid. Kitchen is definitely more aggressive in many geographies, and England, but also in France, definitely in Australia, and many other markets. We don't see totally negative the investment of KitchenAid. We think that in the end, the KitchenAid investment, together with the Kenwood investment, will probably support a market expansion. What we see very often when the leaders invest, there is always a positive effect in the market in terms of growth trend. So I definitely look at Kitchen as a very dangerous competitor, but at the same time I welcome all the investment in the category to drive consumer attention and growth. What we are doing is that we have launched some new products. I don't want to go too much in detail about the strategy, but we are now investing in store execution. We have a new the rollout of a new format of in-store displays and merchandising, shopping shops where we have. We will renovate some of the shops. Plus, we have now improved, I think, the product offering with more tailor-made solutions for the consumers, working on also naked products, which means with no accessories, and also capitalizing on the versatility of our products throughout a better promotion and explanation of the accessories. So I think that also we will continue to back our products with the right advertising and communication support. So I think there are many activities and to tackle KitchenAid in terms of market shares, but we welcome the investment of KitchenAid in order to expand the total market, which is very much in the hands of two or three players, with De'Longhi, KitchenAid, part of Whirlpool, and Bosch in certain geographies. The second question about U.S., U.S., indeed, we think we will continue to grow brown. I said before in during the other calls, for the moment, the focus of brown is mainly in two product lines. We said that our performance in blending has been a bit weak, so we are redesigning the products, but will not be available now, will be in the near future. For the moment, we are happy about the performance of our hand blenders, and also our coffee machines. So we continue the rollout and the expansion in the market. So we don't have to expect a double-digit growth in the near future in the U.S., but a continued organic growth with brown. And also in the U.S., we are seeing strong performance of the De'Longhi brand on the back of the success of the launch of the Nespresso products, and also the success of our pump and fully auto coffee machines. In terms of gross margin, we have still said we expect an improvement or we expect closing the gap in terms of gross margin erosion compared to last year in the second half, on the back of, say, the better mix, less demanding price comparison. As said, that some prices were already adjusted during second half of 2017 in many geographies, so we will have a much easier comp in the second half. We will have some easing compared to our forecast in terms of raw materials. And again, we expect a better mix coming from our fully automatic coffee machines, but also coming from a better performance of specific food preparation products and the new launches.
Thank you very much.
Mr. De'Longhi, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time. Mr. De'Longhi, do you perhaps have any closing comments?
No, as there are no more questions, I thank you all for attending the De'Longhi first half 2018 conference call. Bye-bye.